sufficient for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Elder Stanley Cate.
Lord be with you, Brother Stan.
Thank you, Brother Gary. And
love you.
Greet each of you this morning. Trust that we have our hearts and minds stayed upon the great, magnificent God of heaven this morning. My thoughts as we go through the song service and listen to different portions, different sentiments in the hymns. And we remember the many times we've been here and over the years. And we think of the time that has passed, the joys that we've had. And I just thank God for it. It's not the plan I had in my life, but it seemed good to the Lord to call us this way. And I have tried to be obedient unto God and unto His calling. I'd be satisfied this morning to keep my seat and hear Brother Gary preach this morning. I listen to him on the internet often, and that's my midweek. Sometime through the week, I usually listen. Sometimes in the winter time, if you live where I do, it's not convenient to get out. It's a mile out either way down the holler where I live, and we get real snow, not what you all get. And we didn't make the news. You remember the big Sandy storm that blew the coast away? We didn't have anything but 48 inches of snow, and trapped at home for days and days and days. No power, no heat, no lights, no water. Couldn't get out. And we were not declared a disaster area either. We got no money. We got no help. And now we have to pay flood insurance, and we made no claims. Never underestimate the wisdom of the government. There you go. But it is not folly that the wisest of all wise. We read in the scriptures that Solomon was unequaled in his wisdom.
Yep. Right.
Among men.
Right.
The wisdom of heaven is greater. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that a wonderful thing to think that the Lord Jesus Christ walked, talked, preached in time, here in time, the very Son of God, who was the Son before He was God with us. He was God's elect, eternal Son, co-equal with the Father, co-existent with the Father. He was the Father's daily delight. He was, as has been said of Cyrus in the scriptures, that the man that executeth my counsel, in a small way, God executes His counsel through men. But the entire counsel of God, the whole work of God, is done by none other than His Son,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
by whom the scripture says he framed the words.
Yes, he did.
I've helped build a house or two. And obviously you build from the bottom up. You don't build from the top down. And we think that there's some people that are, I would call myself, when it comes to house building, I was a nailer. I was not a carpenter. But when we think about framing the words, men are discovering today things they did not know existed last year. And it's not just out in the heavens. They're discovering things that exist in a deeper, more minuscule way and form than what they ever imagined. At one time we were looking at cells, and now we're looking at deeper and deeper into those things. And he that framed the worlds, he that made man out of the dust of the earth.
Right.
I thought it was so interesting yesterday when I believe it was Brother Jamie Hancock was preaching, and perhaps it wasn't him, but just speaking about the whole form of Adam. He was made and fashioned.
Right.
Everything was in there.
Right.
It wasn't just a blob.
Right.
He made him. He made him that way. It's truly in the scripture it says we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right.
There's wonderful things about it. But the one thing that he could do, that the carpenters, the engineers, the designers, the men of science, technology cannot do, is that they cannot breathe into that lump of clay the breath of life. And when we think about the great and powerful majesty of God, I tremble at the very thought.
Amen.
And yet, on the other hand, I rejoice so greatly in my heart to know that we're in his care.
Amen.
There was a black man. Blues music. I don't know whether you all care for that or not. My dad was a guitar picker and a very good one. So I understood what that type of music and what real talent was like.
Yeah.
So I've always listened to that. And that black man's name was Son House. And he was a sometimes preacher and sometimes blues singer. But when he sang in my father's house, he always said, whatever musical instrument aside, he had some influence of the Baptist in him, I believe. And he would sing that in my father's house. Isn't it a marvelous thing to come this morning? This is just this building. I don't know how long it's been here. And I've been here at times, and sometimes in the dark of night and the dead of winter. And the building and the atmosphere seems just as dead as everything around. And yet sometimes we come into the house of God, the place set aside for worship, and we really feel like we're in my father's house.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, it's just a great thing. In my father's house, in the church of God, there have been in the centuries past, and when we think about those things, is that worship has been simple. Worship has been between a man and God. Worship has been put into ceremony, rituals. Many people write creeds. Many people have devised creeds. We have our own articles of faith, which we have from the Bible. But there's nothing that takes place. It's not abound. As I tried to speak yesterday, I guess it was, is that when Christ says, I am the vine and ye are the branches, the lesson we're to learn is to abide in him.
Amen.
Okay. So I would like this morning to perhaps read a portion of a scripture from the book of Colossians. And I hope you'll pray.
Amen.
Hope the Lord will provide a blessing. In the first chapter of the book of Colossians, I will read to you from verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul is writing to those saints at Colossae, and he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Think this morning about the inheritance we have with God, from God. What it means to be meet, to be a partaker. If we understand the word meet, when God gave Adam Eve, he gave him a help meet, which means she was acceptable or good for help.
Amen.
Help meet. It doesn't say help mate. It says help meet.
Amen.
He provided her to Adam in understanding of being acceptable, useful. When we think about being made meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light,
right.
We sang two or three songs this morning, Be Glory By and By. One of the songs, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We often think about life here, that our chief joy is about what we can do and what we can attain here. But I will tell you truly that the greatest thing that we will ever have, the greatest thing that will ever happen to any one of us, is that we will see God in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
But while we're here, first of all, I would like for you to understand that the beauty of the scriptures tells us that our home in heaven is not hanging in the balance right now.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
It's just simply not scriptural. It simply cannot be. You cannot persuade that kind of a message out of the scriptures, okay? That God has blessed us with something that is not going to be taken away. So when we think about being made meet to inherit with the saints of light, there's a lot of things that have to be done for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the joy that is presented to us when we sing those songs, the joy that we hear in the gospel, okay? When we hear Christ himself saying, come you blessed of my Father, when we hear him saying, come unto me and all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Those things are not a test to get you ready. These things are just that which we stand in need of while we live here in this world. So when we think about being meet to be an inheritor, and we understand, according to the scriptures, that God has one Son, the only begotten Son of the Father. How are we? How are we to ever be or to inherit with the saints? How do you become a saint?
Exactly.
I can tell you today that my mother was a saint. My dear wife's a saint. You think of those ones Brother Gary mentioned this morning about that have gone on, that have been such encouragement to us. I know probably everyone in here has some dear figure in their life. If not father, mother, if not sister, brother, companion, some wise old person, some person older than you that just kind of helped mold your life. I think of about some football coaches, okay, that kind of whipped me into shape, and that was pretty hard. Let me tell you that, okay. I loved the glory of the game. I hated practice, okay.
Me too.
I mean, everybody can understand that, right? I liked the paycheck, but some days in the hayfield was not much fun. Okay. Sometimes, what does it take to be a saint? Well, rest assured, you're not going to fall short of being a saint because you didn't have what it took. That's the beauty of the gospel of the Son of God.
Amen.
He hath made us meet.
Made us.
I think one of the things that we find so prevalent in the world today is that there are creeds and there are catechisms laid out about how a person is to make themselves meet to be with God, meet to be in heaven. Okay, that would, if it was a matter of will, if it was a matter of payment, if it was what would it take? I mean, in my formative years, there was a saying going around that I'm paid up, prayed up, ready to go up. Okay, when will you be done praying? You'll be done praying, friends, when you have no need to pray. When will you be paid up? What if you're a beggar?
We are beggars.
What if you're too rich to care?
Right.
Meet to be an inheritor, to inherit. First of all, you can't deny what the Scripture teaches us. I believe it's Peter says, the gospel tells us that all we like sheep, Isaiah, right?
Yep.
All we like sheep have gone astray.
Amen.
My mother was raised on a farm that kept sheep. And she used to tell this story that the person asked the schoolboy, if you had 30 sheep and two of them went astray, how many would you have left? And the schoolboy said, none. Teacher said, you don't know your sums. And the schoolboy said, you don't know your sheep. The real fact of the matter is that if one sheep goes astray, they all just go right astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. You just wonder. You know, when you look at Scripture and you find what it teaches us in the Scriptures is that we walk in the footsteps of our father, Adam. We're fallen. Adam knew he was fallen. He understood that when he was put out of that garden, he understood that the earth was going to bring forth thorns and thistles. How did he know that? Because God told him it was going to be so. I will tell you, God didn't send him out of that garden naked. He was naked and not ashamed. When he fell, he became ashamed. And God did not send him out unclothed. God doesn't put us here in this world, none of his saints. God doesn't leave us destitute.
Nope.
One of the first things we find in Scripture is that we, like our fathers, have gone astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. But the wonderful portion of it is that Peter says that we have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls.
Amen.
Of our souls, my friends.
Absolutely.
Those inward things. And when we consider this, that if we're fallen creatures of Adam, you know, we talk about this a lot of times, that once something happens, how do you undo it? You can't You know, you can break the sugar bowl and you can use super glue, but you're not quite going to get it back together. There are going to be pieces missing. There are going to be chips that you can't find. There's going to be all sorts of things. And there's a lot of folks that want to try to put the genie back in the bottle, but it will not go. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His own mercy and grace and mercy has He saved us.
Amen.
You know, God knew exactly from eternity the first things that happens with us when we think about being, I don't want to use this word, like qualified for heaven, okay? To be meet, to be inherit with the saints. We have to have something that overcomes what happened.
Yes.
All of the way.
Absolutely.
Back to when our father Adam sinned.
Right.
If you go back and read the third chapter of the book of Genesis, you find exactly is that God is on the scene. You find exactly what punishments were pronounced upon not only Adam for his transgression, but I will tell you, but there was a throwing down of the gauntlet before the serpent, and God is saying, this is what's going to happen. We have gospel in the book of Genesis when He said to the serpent, He says that you'll bruise His heel, but He's going to bruise your head. I am here to tell you today, I know a little story. I hope you don't mind me telling that the old bootblack, I was sitting in the bus station in his shining shoes, and the preacher was in there ready to catch the train, and he was up on a tall seat waiting to have his shoes shined. And when he got them shined, the old preacher was trying to read in the book of Revelation, and he was trying to figure it out, and he asked the old bootblack, he says, do you know what this means? He said, yes, sir. He said, how is it that you're a bootblack and I'm a preacher? You know what it says and I don't. He says, well, that's how it is. And he said, well, what does it say? It says, Jesus wins.
Yeah.
You want to know something? There's one thing that a lot of times that we forget to tell the children of God, okay? Amen. There is no defeat in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are many men, my friends, that have died in battles and the battles were lost. But I am telling you that there are great generals and people that go into cities that they've conquered, places where they have gone and they've reigned triumphant while they live here in the world. But I am telling you that Jesus was gaining a victory when He was bowing His head and dying.
Amen.
Isn't that a marvelous thought?
Yes,
that there was never any, the closest thing that ever came to a parade for the Lord Jesus Christ was when He rode into Jerusalem for the last time.
Right.
You want to know if the church was there to greet Him? You want to know if the Pharisees were there with a high-minded Jewish Sanhedrin court there to meet Him? Absolutely not. He said, you have your people, be quiet. You're creating a fuss in town. You know what they said? If these hold their peace, the very rocks would cry out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think God can make a rock speak?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you think God can overcome all of the things that you have against you when it comes to being a saint or a child of God? I am telling you that God was so certain of the success of His Son that He elected them to be saved in His Son, Jesus Christ, when as yet there wasn't any one of them.
Amen.
And in the same sense, when it came to Jacob and Esau, when they had done neither good nor evil,
amen,
God loved Jacob.
Right. Amen.
And hated Esau. How do you become meat? Well, it certainly wasn't by conduct. It all begins with the election of God. If we look over in the 16th chapter of the book, 16th Psalm, I guess it is. There's one, I'll go there and read it.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we find things in the Old Testament scriptures and they point to some of the things that I have so many marks sometimes I don't know which ones I want to go to. But here is this Psalm of David. This is a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
And David writes, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage."
Amen.
Who maintains? Obviously, David is referring to that division of the division of the land to the tribes. He's obviously referring to those things that men get in inheritance. And when he said, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places," your inheritance is in pleasant places. You know, we sing one of those old songs that we know that dark clouds will gather around us. We know the way is rough and steep. But beauteous fields lie just before me, where God's redeemed their vigils keep. When we consider how marvelous it is to know that when I wake up in the morning, either when I lay down at night, whatever trials or tribulations are ours, that whatever place we are, these are the lines, these are the appointed places that God has given to His family. But that when we think about being set apart by the electing grace of God, that is not the elect. The mere act of election doesn't awaken us to what's ours.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't awaken us to any of those things. To be adopted in Jesus Christ, when we think about those things, those are in many instances we're unaware of. We have those things that are given us. In the Song of Solomon, we find he says that his right hand, one hand is under me. I can't remember exactly which it is, but and with his right hand he doth embrace me. In other words, both arms are around us. We feel those certain things that he Amen. Gives us, but there are a lot of hidden things
Amen.
That goes into our salvation that we Amen. Don't know anything about. We don't realize them. When they're presently happening. But I can tell you that in our inheritance, okay, said, how can they that are accustomed to do evil turn and do good? I mean, it's just not in our nature to do that. We do. There is no abhorrence of evil in natural men.
No.
Everyone in the world today it's on everyone's lips. How could they be so horrid? I can tell you, without the presence of God in this world and without the grace and the mercy of God, it wouldn't be an exception. Everything would be that way.
Amen.
When you get up in the morning and you read what's in the newspaper and you ask yourself, can this truly be? Can this be this awful? I can tell you, yes, it can be this awful. It would be worse.
Right.
If it wasn't for the manifest presence of God in His people in this world.
Amen.
May God bless us with more and more of His presence here in this world. Those things have fallen to us in pleasant places. All of the fertile green that there is. When we think, it's this morning that we come in, and we think that in my Father's house, come to the Father's house, we come. Apostle Paul says, we come boldly. I can tell you this, in the Old Testament worship, they didn't come boldly. They didn't even get in the presence of God in that inner sanctuary. They had to have someone else go for them. They had to have someone take a sacrificial lamb, the blood of a lamb. They had all sorts of rituals to go through. But I am telling you that all of that was brought to pass and done and finished. Those were types and shadows. They weren't just arbitrary.
Exactly.
They suited God.
Exactly.
And God fulfilled every one of them.
Yes.
What did He say? To a jot and a tittle. They're done, my friends. They're over. They pointed to everything that Christ did when
Amen.
He was here in this low ground of sin and sorrow.
Amen.
When Christ was here in the world, He came, He was, what does the Scripture say? The lowly Lamb of God. He was marked for death. If we look at the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, we find the gospel preached in that chapter.
Amen.
He said He was led as a sheep, what? Lamb, dumb before her shears.
Yes.
He opened not His mouth.
Exactly.
He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, He says, I could call for my Father. He would send me 12 legions of angels. But to this end, my friends, He came into this low ground of sin and sorrow. How are we meet to be inheritors of the saints in light? Because we have His meekness
Amen.
Put upon us.
Amen.
No, it's not. Scripture tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. You know, heart transplants are fairly common these days, right? Well, I can tell you, before there were heart transplants, God was in that heart-changing business.
Amen.
Heart-changing business. He took out of them, what did He say?
Hard.
A hard and stony heart.
Right.
And give them what? Heart of flesh. A heart of compassion.
Amen.
A heart of understanding. One of the best things that I ever heard, I believe it was right here in this pulpit. Elder Tillman was here, and he saw a beggar someplace on the street. It just bothered
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And he kind of scoffed at it. And he kind of walked away, and he says that the Lord just struck him so bad in his heart that he went up, he went across the street, come back down, and went back up and give this poor fellow some money, whatever he had in his pocket. Do you know what? That fellow may have been a panhandler, but I'm telling you that Brother Tillman had the heart of a loving God in him to see him as a poor, destitute sinner.
Amen.
Okay? I have seen that. You've seen it many times, and we see it so often that sometimes we just kind of forget that could be me. That
Absolutely.
Could be me on the street corner. That could be me sleeping on the bench. That
yeah.
could be me
yeah.
that doesn't have a thing to come unto God with. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I have the labor. I have those conditions. Okay? But none of that squares things with me. You have to have a heart. You know, if I just think that, well, you know, if I'd have had a better education, if I'd have had a better job, if I'd have done this or if I'd have done that, listen, I could have done all of that and still be sprawled in the ditch somewhere.
Absolutely.
Bound. Ruined. Lost. Undone. Without God, without any hope in this world. Not able to lift my chin up. Not able to see any hope. Not able to have anything. But now we've been made meet. And if we've been made meet, how did it happen? Because there is one that took upon Him a nature of not angels.
Right.
Took upon Himself the nature of man.
Right.
That's why we call Him God incarnate. He was verily God and verily man. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. Here is what we have. We have God on one hand who was just. God
Amen.
Who is holy.
Amen.
God who is good.
Right.
God who has given us a good law. Had
Amen.
Given a good law. He had established His justice here in the world. We fail. If you're guilty in part, you're guilty of it all.
Amen.
There is no recovery, friend. There is no mercy in justice. You do know that, right? We're so prone to grow up with good fathers and mothers and good friends, and they are forgiving. I am telling you that with God, who is just and holy, that in justice per se, there is no grace, there is no mercy.
Right.
We were deserving of debt.
Amen.
Death.
Right.
We're 10,000 talents in debt,
no.
not a farthing to pay.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? You know, some folks see that and they see, well, what is the poor sinner going to do when he lays on his bed at night and he cries out and his misery is great? To the depths of the sea. His misery is greater than the highest mountains in the world. I'm telling you, you know what that fellow has? He has the blessing of God upon him because he sees himself as he is. And when you do that, It is evidence you have a Savior in heaven.
Amen.
Because on one hand we have this just and holy God. Scripture says He cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance.
No. Not a bit.
My mother covered for me, my friends. My mother swept a million things I did under the rug, trying to save me from my father's wrath. And there were plenty. I was the baby, thank you. When we consider these things, we have friends that forgive us many things. But when it comes to the just and holy law of God, who can forgive us? God would sully His holiness.
Right.
God's not less holy today because He loves you.
No, He isn't.
God is not less just today because He loves you. That God is not less just because you have a home in heaven that's already bought and paid for. God is not, my friends, less just. And I will tell you why. Because He sent His only begotten Son here, who never committed a sin.
Never.
Who fulfilled every bit of the law to a jot and a tittle. And He walked. He was an humble man. He mingled with folks like us, okay, the poor. That He saw a little woman at the well that other folks didn't like. He saw those that were wild and like the wild Gadarean, okay, that other folks were afraid of. That they put chains on them and they tried to bind them. And there are people in the world today that try to give you a good lesson about how to avoid sin and how to recover you out of a sinful state and how they might educate you into believing and thinking about God. But I'm telling you, how they could bind you all they want to. How they could blindfold you. They could put you in a prison house and you're going to be a sinner. You're going to be a sinner as long as you live, and nobody's ever going to recover you from that. But I'm telling you, the lowly Lamb of God came and He took upon Himself our nature, with the exception of sin, and that while He was here in this world,
yes, He walked perfect.
He walked perfect.
Amen.
Nevertheless, what does Isaiah the prophet say? It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. By His stripes, we're healed. You want to get well? That's where you're going to get well.
Amen.
The sinner that lays on his bed and cries out. The sinner that finds the covering is, the bed is too short, the covering too narrow. When the sinner finds out and when he's saying, what will I do? To where can we go? To men and brother, what shall we do when you're pricked in the heart? And trials and tribulations are just more than you can stand. And the valley looks darker than any place you've ever been in your life. I'm telling you, what shall we do? Let's turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, doctrines won't save you.
No, they won't.
Doctrines are true. We have to contend for them. We have to walk in them. But I am telling you, surely and certainly.
You preach.
Surely and certainly. But this lowly Lamb of God, born of a woman. You know, listen.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that. My mother bore me. I was her son. My father's son. I came into the world as they came into the world. I was no prize.
No.
I was no king. I wasn't even the firstborn. I was the last. There was nothing. Nothing about. But Jesus was the King of glory.
Amen.
How humiliating is it that He didn't take upon Himself the body of angels. He took upon Himself what? The body like mine, like yours.
Lower the knee.
He suffered cold. He suffered hunger.
Right.
But you know what He said? I have bread to eat. You don't know anything about it.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
My meat.
That He's given us something, friends, that when we walk in this world of sorrow, that we can say that we don't sorrow as those that have no hope because we have bread to eat and water to drink.
Amen.
That they don't know anything about.
Amen.
The Lord will sustain you in the valleys where you go. He will sustain you, my friends, when it seems as all life is gone in the midst of the storm that I spoke of earlier. That when we're sitting there in a house that's as cold as can be, and what is it? Where do you turn? The Lord will sustain you, my friends. If it be His will to take us home to glory, what a day of rejoicing that should be. This lowly Lamb of God came into the world. He was born of a woman, born under the law to do what? To redeem.
Amen.
To buy.
Right.
You're bought with a price.
Amen.
Purchased with the blood of Christ. You're purchased with something that is the most precious thing in the world. There's just, it just goes where He sent it.
Amen.
And so not only does He purchase you, purchase your redemption. Scripture tells us that that our feet are swift to shed blood. This is human nature. That our mouth is an open sepulcher. Okay. And yes, that our head and our heart and our mind is on evil continually.
Amen.
In the one place, in the one operation that could do anything about that, that has done something about that, is that God gives us a new heart.
Amen.
And having given us a new heart and regenerating us, okay, He's promised that that would be the case. He give us a heart to love Him. He give us, when we think about the inheritance and the heritage we have that has fallen to us in pleasant places, we have the church. Isn't it pleasant?
Amen. Absolutely.
You know, sometimes we look around and say, well, this is just more of a burden than I can bear. I want to tell you something, okay? You get some sickness, you get some you get some things going on with you that you can't do what you once did, and you get away from the house of God, and one of the best things you ever do is when you get back to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Where prayer and supplication are wont to be made, where songs are sung, and you gather and you have fellowship with folks that are just like you.
Amen. Straight.
When you come into the house of God, when you come into the Lord's church, you're looking at things that look like this. There is a sinner receiving love, sharing tears.
Yes.
Sharing embraces. You all know I love you, Pastor. He's like a brother to me. Like a brother. We've wept together. We've prayed together. We've eaten together.
Yeah,
we've rejoiced together. We've traveled together. We've been up and down the hills and the valleys, places near and far. You want to know why? We love each other. You want to know why Jesus is with you? Because He loves you.
Amen.
And if you cry out in your heart, how could He love me? Well, I will tell you. Because He died for you.
Amen.
He doesn't see you like the world might see you. You know that?
You washed up.
You're washed, made clean. Like the lambs that are washed and made white.
Absolutely.
In the blood of the Lamb.
Clothed you.
And when we have that, it was like when the prodigal son returned to his father's house. What did the father say? We're going to kill the fatted calf.
Right.
I don't know if they were going to have a cookout or not, but they were going to make a feast, right?
Absolutely.
Brother Wayne?
Absolutely.
And that's not where it all stopped.
No.
Bring the best robe and put it on.
Put it on.
Yes. What's the best robe for you? What's the best robe for the church of Jesus Christ? Grace and mercy.
Amen.
Who purchased that robe? Jesus Christ did. He died, my friends,
Amen.
Under the penalty of sin. But not His sin, but our sin.
Amen.
Right? And when we think about Him dying in Calvary's cross, and it was not an easy death, friends. It wasn't quick and painless.
No, it
wasn't quick and over. It was a piercing in His side. It was the nails in His hands and in His feet. It was the blood dripping down. And His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And from the sixth to the ninth hour, it was dark upon the face of the earth. And finally, at the end, He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'm telling you right today, you are the cause that He was forsaken, that He might purchase your redemption, and that He might clear the way for you And that home in heaven's pure word.
Amen.
Because he did what? He loved you.
Yes.
When you think about, if you read the Song of Solomon and you find where the beloved, God in his church, Christ in his church, and in one of those verses, those that stand by said, well, what is thy beloved more than any other beloved? Well, I'm going to tell you, what is the church's beloved more than anybody else? He won't ever leave you.
No, he will not.
He won't cheat on you.
No.
He won't forsake you for another.
No.
Because you have his gifts. You have what he's purchased for you. You have the beauty that he's laid upon you, put upon you. The robe that the prodigal had was beautiful. The ring on his finger was everlasting, endless love. That's what you have from your Savior. That's what we have from our beloved. I am his and he is mine. And when you think about the church saying those words and you think about her and we find that she's just this child that is cast out out of the loathing of herself. You know, there's a world out there today, my friends, that's telling you, teaching us and teaching our children the philosophies of this world about how to get better and how to be better and to have all these great ideas about who you are. And that's a wonderful thing in some sense, okay? We wouldn't want to see anyone feel anything less about themselves and what they truly have a right to feel. But when it comes to standing before God,
right,
I have no righteousness to claim.
Not any.
I don't have any good works that, you know, that didn't originate with him. And when we think about these things, what do we have that we didn't receive?
Right.
I have this blessing. You have it. Did you get it from mom and daddy? Did you get it from a husband or a spouse, wife? These are our things that come to us from the Lord of glory.
Amen.
And he laid his life down. But he said, this commandment have I received of my Father, that I might lay it down, that I have power to take it up again.
Amen.
It's he that has made us meet. How can we come to a throne of grace? How can we be acceptable with God? I should think that we do it in the might and the name of Jesus Christ. Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan. And he was lame in both feet. When David had finally triumphed, he said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And Ziba said, well, yeah, there's a little boy. And he's lame in both of his feet. And David said, fetch it.
Yeah.
And David's servants fetched him. There are some people in here that have been lame in both of their feet that the Holy Spirit has fetched to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when he came, there he sat at the table. And you know what David said to him? You'll eat bread at my table continually. Not when we have abundance. Continually. We sit at the table prepared of the Lord. And they said, can the Lord prepare a table in the wilderness? They lived on manna for 40 years.
Yeah.
I suppose he can.
Yeah.
No, I am certain.
Certainly
I know.
Amen.
Not only can he, did he do it then, he does it now. That which nourishes your heart and soul comes on the wings of his love and the Spirit of Almighty God, who leads us into the ways of all truth. May God bless each of you.
Bless your heart. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music.
Thank you.
The sweetest name.